The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 26th of August, 2024, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Good morning this morning. I am so to be back, and joining me this morning is Mr. C.A. Newry. Let me start the show by saying thank you to Mr. Newry for holding the fort while I was drinking the fifth. That's how you say it, right, Mr. Newry? That ain't how they say it, eh?
Not really.
Okay, but I mean, I like it.
I mean, it's cute.
I like it. Anyway, I have a whole bunch of thank yous to start the show with. First of all, I want to thank my producer in his wisdom. I tell him play some jump up music for me. And he say, Miss Green, we're going to slide right into this Monday show. So thank you for that opening song. I love it very much. I have to say thank you to everyone who was able to give blood for both Lakeisha Bostwick and myself, Erin Green. I fortunately did not need the blood, and so fortunately, there were donations available for those who did need it over last week. I want to say thank you to everyone that shared flyers, prayers, and made calls on our behalf. I want to say thank you to Scarlett Stone, Esther Hannah Culmer, Tira Hannah Sweeting, and family, and the HHT Executive Committee, and entire HHT family, and Christine Wilson, among others. A special thank you to the staff and doctors and nurses at PMH PHA, the clinic, the ward, and the theater, to the anesthesiologist, to Nurse Butler, to Nurse Gilbert, to the doctors that cared for me. Thank you to the staff and hosts, Guardian and Guardian Talk Radio, for your support. And again, thank you to C.A. Newry for holding the fort for me. I just want to say thank you very much. And let's get the show started. Of course, there is lots to talk about in today's newspapers. Let's take a look at The Guardian. FNM presses case on banking reform. Another headline, three to be charged today in relation to recent murder. Coupig, Zuma will hold its own despite sandals closure. Man shot dead at party in Bozine town. Government releases land reform bill, starts consultations. I think that is going to be a story that we will follow over the following weeks. And at the bottom of the front page of The Guardian, Bannister terminated from Clifton Heritage. Today's Tribune headlines. PM fires official as three-faced court. Another headline, I will not let the police sweep investigation away, says father. Pintard reiterates need for banking sector reforms and shares proposals. And Lewis, no conflict over candidacy. There is lots to talk about today. I also have eyes following from last week's papers. First headline, woman accused of molesting boy is acquitted. That is the Nassau Guardian, 21st of August. Another story from the Nassau Tribune, updated man pleads guilty to unlawful sex with minor. Another interesting story, Mr. Newry, accept parole system and move on, says Dawn Claire. That's Nassau Tribune, Thursday's edition. And another story from Thursday, Rastafarians seek legal help over cannabis bill concerns. It's my first day back after a little while, so I'm inclined to have an open line show this morning. I just want to remind callers and texters that it is imperative in these moments when we want to talk about these highly volatile, high-profile cases that we prepare what it is we're going to say, we moderate our speech, we govern our emotions, and we try to make our contributions in a way that will not prejudice justice in each particular matter. The numbers to call for today's show, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and 04 Family Island Residence. It is toll-free. And the text line, as always, powered by BTC, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. There is lots to talk about. Let us start. I want to read this story into the record. Woman accused of molesting boy is acquitted. A Supreme Court jury on Tuesday found a woman not guilty of sexually abusing a boy she once babysat. After 2 hours of deliberations, the jury acquitted Raquel Williamson, 37, of unlawful sexual intercourse and indecent assault by a count of 7-2. Prosecutors had accused Williamson of having sexual relations with a 13-year-old boy who said she was his girlfriend. On May 26, 2023. The incident allegedly happened at the Marriott Hotel on Nassau Street while they were attending a conclave for the progressive young liberals. According to the now 14-year-old, the pair shared a room and they slept in the same bed. The teen said that in another incident while at Williamson's home in Mangrove, April 23, 2023, Williamson fondled his genitals until he became aroused and they had sexual relations. The boy's mother reported the matter to the police after she came across raunchy Facebook messages between her son and Williamson while using his cell phone. The mother testified that her son admitted that he was in a sexual relationship with Williamson when she confronted him. She said her son told her to leave it alone. The mother said she went to Williamson's home to confront her, but she refused to open the door or answer her questions. The boy's mother said that Williamson babysat her son when he was 11. When questioned by police, Williamson admitted messaging the teen at times. However, she denied sending the racy messages as she explained that other people had access to her Facebook account. Williamson reportedly didn't provide police with the names of those persons. She exercised her right to remain silent at her trial before Senior Justice Cheryl Grant Thompson and didn't call any witnesses. Rizard Humes told the jury that the police had conducted a sloppy investigation and there had been a rush to judgment. In her summation to the jury, Grant Thompson emphasized that the teen could not legally consent to having sex with his, quote, girlfriend, close quotes. She said the law at times had to protect children from themselves. End of article. I thought it important to read this story into the record, the public record. I am absolutely troubled by the incident. We have to be very cautious how we critique and interrogate the actions of the court. What rises for me, Mr. Nuri, is the question of whether civil societies should request like a judicial review. Like, can I ask the state to show the value of changing the law from statutory rape to unlawful sexual intercourse? And here's what I mean. When the magistrate says, and when the article says, she said the law at times had to protect children from themselves. Does the law as it exists of unlawful sexual intercourse, does it do that? Does it have that function? Does it aim to, and does it in effect, does it actually protect children from themselves?
I assume it does.
A, and B, I thought the law is to protect children from predators. I feel uncomfortable with the language being used. It's as if we've shifted away from the belief, the perspective, the understanding that children, by the very nature of the fact that they are children and are in a stage of this particular stage of development, do not have all the tools required and necessary to protect themselves. And that is why we created the law. The law was statutory. There is no defense, but there's very limited defense in that matter. It's a statutory. It doesn't matter how you found yourself in the situation. You ain't supposed to be there. Adult. Got a text here that says, Aaron, so big grown women sleeping with little boys now. This is utterly disgusting. Now, texter, the individual was acquitted, right, before the court.
7-2.
7-2.
There were 7 adult Bohemian people. They didn't give the sex of the people.
Right.
Who said, no, man, this lady is innocent. And there were 2 who's concluded that this lady was guilty. My question to you is, what should a mother do? There's a poem that says, my stepfather used to tell me all the time, what should a little boy do? And I was trying to remember how that poem goes, right? And I think it's a recitation. And I think that we must now analyze what should a mother do who is trying to protect her son, her 13-year-old son, right? What should she do? She came across, according to her, a text or several texts via Facebook with suggestive, I'm not sure what you mean by raunchy, but suggestive texts, which made her curious.
Concerned.
Concerned. And the defense of the 38-year-old woman was, other people's be using my Facebook account. And the reason why I am concerned about that, because we have a case going on now about voicemail and voice messages.
Right concerning forms of technology.
Technology. And can you imagine if the defense is other people may have access to my phone? And you can't give a name or refuse to give the name of the other people. And that you didn't notice that other people was using your account.
Mm-hmm.
That you noticed that someone's using the account, communicating back and forth. And you didn't say, hey, this is not me. Let me erase this because this is not me. Right? That you left it in your phone.
Right.
And then there are 7 Bohemians after hearing that there's text messages and pictures, I'm suggesting suggestive text messages, because I'm not sure if it's pictures or whatever it is, could not or did not see that there's a concern.
Right.
I am concerned, because now, to me, it tells about our moral compass, their moral compass, their conclusion. I am concerned about that.
For me, what rose in your commentary just now were a couple of things, right? A duty of care. Like you say, if you become aware that other people are using your social media platforms for untoward, nefarious, or just for things that you never gave them permission to do, how are you supposed to be responsible in that instance, right? Who has the duty or the onus to prove that they were not in control of their social media platform at all times, right? Now, the story says that the would be the defendant, right, remained silent. They did not testify. In fact, I can read from the article. She exercised her right to remain silent at her trial, right? So we understand that. I would like to get a transcript of the court case, right? And I'm hoping that the UE Law School may take this up as an exercise, maybe a potential reform exercise. I would like to see the transcript of the case, right? To find out what questions were asked. Did the defendant not take the stand at all?
I assume she did not take a stand
at all. Or did she take the stand and then refuse to answer questions, right, on the stand? But there are a whole lot of things that come up. And the first, I think, is that perhaps we need to review the legislative changes to determine whether they can achieve the goal intended.
I have two more points I want to make. Mm-hmm. Again, I want to reiterate the point. What should a mother do? After the case, the judgment, what should she do with regarding her 13-year-old?
First thing, counseling. First thing, age-appropriate professional counseling.
What should she do when the boy said, "Mommy, leave this alone because that's my girlfriend"?
So, counseling, first of all.
How much years different that is? That's 13 minus 38.
That's 14 years, 24 years.
24 years?
13 between 37?
Yeah. That's 24 years different?
Yeah.
Not 10?
So first thing is counseling, right? Second thing, if it were me, I would hire a private investigator.
Oh, I was always going to say hitman. No,
No.
I had a flashback of a different case. You know, going through now. Wait a minute, sorry.
But we appreciate... Right. I just want to make this point because you start off. What should a mother do? Right. Which calls for us to practice empathy and put ourselves in her shoes. First things first, counseling for both the child, because the boy is a child in the eyes of the law.
13 is a child.
Counseling for the mother as well. Counseling for any siblings in the household, because they are now all aware of what has happened.
This is a bohemian thingy.
Yeah. Second thing is...
No, you can't bypass this, because I want to know if this is a bohemian mother thing. Because I know what my Jamaican mother would do. And when she was knocking on the door and she didn't answer, my Jamaican mother would answer for her. And there was going to be no issue, you know. Bohemian mother's just different. They different her. They love their children differently. Clearly.
Here's the thing. There are African cultural practices that still remain.
You mean the tip 2x4?
There's an African principle that says that the parents are responsible for administering justice for their children.
There you go.
Bang, bang. In the Bahamas, though, I think culturally, we still rely on the law in these instances. The cultural differences, we rely on the law to administer justice or to ensure that the system to ensure that justice is administered, right? And I think that's a cultural difference there. The second thing I would do right away is I'm hiring a private investigator. I know that I cannot guard my child 24/7. They have to go to school. In many instances, a child will have to take themselves to school and back home from school. A 13-year-old boy may be working, right? And this is Nassau-centric, may be working. So they're going to be even in a workplace environment that is separate from me as a parent. I hire in a private investigator. My boy is still a minor in the eyes of the law and should not be engaging in sexual relationship, sexual intimacy of any form, physical intimacy of any form with an adult without my consent, be and an adult and in a sexual romantic way. So I'm putting a PI on the case.
Aaron, you know what a 13-year-old boy could do in a class with 13-year-old girls, especially if you have that type of experience?
Okay, so bang, there's a text here that says, if he is 13 and if it's true that he had relations with a 37-year-old, he has an ego out of this world.
Yeah, I'm trying to say.
At 13.
What type of damage he could do?
Is paramount, right? A child that is a victim of sexual violence may go on to perpetuate or engage in other forms of sexual violence. That is why it's important for this child to have access to counseling services.
I have another question I want to ask you. You read earlier that this child was at a political rally meeting.
You're right. The article, and let's read from the article.
Go ahead.
The incident allegedly happened at the Marriott Hotel on Nassau Street while they were attending a conclave for the Progressive Young Liberals. The article says allegedly happened. Yep. Let's go.
And this little boy, 13-year-old, was sharing a room with who? See, this way I'm going to ask what the mother's doing. I go on a camp.
Now,
I went to camp.
I went to summer camp.
When you went to summer camp, when you share a room, who you share a room with?
Summer camp is a big room. There's a minimum of 6 to a maximum of 12 campers and 2 counselors per room.
To my point is this 13-year-old boy was sharing room with an adult woman who ain't his mother, his auntie.
Now, listen.
His cousin, big cousin.
Let's make the point. According to the victim, the pair shared a room and they slept in the same bed.
Did she deny she shared a room?
She didn't say anything. Remember, she maintained the right to remain silent.
My point is, what mother would allow their 13-year-old boy to travel to Nassau, because he's from the family island, right? To stay in a room with a adult woman. So you take care of my son.
The idea of the incredulous that I could imagine a mother not even considering the possibility that my minor child would be sharing a room with an adult of the opposite sex that is not related to them. Now, mind you, the article indicates that, and I will read again from the article, woman accused of molesting boy is acquitted. The boy's mother said that Williamson babysat her son when he was 11. Mm. So, when I say, as a mother, I would not expect my son, my minor boy, to share a room with an adult female that he is not related to. With the familiarity and the trust that the mother may have put in this individual, because the mother indicates that the woman babysat her son 2 years prior.
His auntie.
Community auntie.
That's where she's doing. She had community stuff.
No.
That's what you said.
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying.
You didn't say community?
What I'm saying is, when we ask the question,
she was
right?
Sharon.
Mr. Nuri, let's be responsible.
I try to find out what you're saying with the community.
What I'm saying is that if this individual wouldn't, the mother may have been comfortable enough for the boy to share the same room with the adult woman.
Look what you get.
Let's read the text.
Look what you get.
Text says, this is in no way defending the lady, but at least we...
That's a sicko.
Bet you that person deserved to go to hell and burn in hellfire. Bet you. Bet you.
That text is inappropriate, and I think you know why I'm not reading
you
it.
You sure that person doesn't deserve to burn in hell?
In many cases, that's another text. In many cases, that's our problem, the jury pool. We have to select from what knowledge of the law that they have.
To get instructed. To get instructions.
Yeah. They are instructed on the procedure, the law.
What to consider.
What to consider. Another text. Just hearing about this case, and all I can say is, wow. Let's reverse the roles and see what would have happened.
Here's the
question, is there a gender bias at play, if not within the law, culturally and socially, right? And would we have seen a different result if the sexes of the victim and defendant were reversed, if it were a minor girl and an adult male?
If it was a minor girl and an adult male, I would ask, what would a daddy do? What should a daddy do if his 13-year-old daughter was inside a room with an adult male who's 24 years older than her? What should a daddy do?
And what we would advise, the first thing to do is to seek counseling.
I was going to seek counseling.
For the father and the minor girl.
I would have counseled that person for
no,
sure.
No, Mr. Nure.
I'm just saying whatever then.
We know culturally and socially.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying we know culturally and socially what people are prompted to do.
Counsel, yes.
What we're advising people to do is to stay within the scope of the law.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
See, we got a big problem in this town where...
Too much girls and boys getting molested? Yes, I know.
Oh, absolutely.
Therefore,
I mean, I'm not going to deter you. I'm not going to disagree with you.
Just making sure.
We have a crisis of sexual violence in this country.
I would have solved that for her. I would have solved it.
But here's an important point, Mr. Newman.
I listened to your point.
We'll, quote unquote, solving this individual matter,
mm-hmm.
make it more likely for justice to be achieved for the other victims.
Mm.
And that's when we talk about moderating and governing, right? Yes, we could attempt to seek out what we perceive is justice for one individual, for our family member. But we must ask ourselves, in that pursuit of justice, in that instance, will we make it harder for other individuals to achieve justice
perhaps
in their situation?
Now, there's no justice coming that. I'm just saying, what should a mother do?
And these are absolute questions that need to be answered. And not by talk show hosts necessarily, right? I'm hoping at this point that all of the NGOs, NPOs, civil society organizations, faith-based organizations that support children and that support or advocate on behalf of the victims of sexual violence and organize their resources, find the money to conduct a review of the existing legislation that deals with sexual violence and put forward a compendium of bills, draft bills, that the community of advocates believe will achieve the goal of eradicating and, if not eradicating, minimizing sexual violence in the Bahamas.
Mm.
It's paramount. It's absolutely paramount. From an interrogation of whether the changing of the law from statutory rape to unlawful sexual intercourse achieves, right? Like, does it actually achieve justice? Does it make it easier to achieve justice? Right? That's what we need to do.
Mm.
But we need to do it urgently, because in the absence of resolutions and support from the state, people will act to protect their children and their loved ones. And that's why it is a national issue. That's why it is a community issue. That's why it's not just an issue for one family to grapple with. Because if the systems that people are supposed to rely on to protect themselves, to protect their children, their dependents, their loved ones, if they're dysfunctional, if they break down, if they don't work properly, parents will resort to what they feel is appropriate action.
You think the political party have a duty of care also?
Without a doubt, I am most ashamed and disappointed that we haven't seen a statement from said party. Anyway, that's some music playing, Mr. Nuri. We're gonna read from a couple more stories, including IRCA to modernize broadcast rules. You're on the clock with Aaron Green, and let me tell you, I'm glad to be back. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
It's time for Guardian Radio and AML's second annual back-to-school snackathon. We are accepting donations at the Register of Solomon's Fresh Market and Cosrite locations in both Nassau and Freeport. And with your donation, you can make a difference to a family and a child going back to school with the gift of snacks. No amount is too small, and if you are a My Solomon Smart Rewards member, consider donating your points. So let's come together and make this school year unforgettable. Donate today and help us make a difference in the lives of children across the Bahamas. Promotion ends September 5th, 2024.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there'll be no one better. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Attention Bahamas, embark on an inspiring voyage with two new books by Hubert Ingram, Our Remarkable Three-Time PM. Learn of his exceptional leadership in steering the nation through local and international storms. These books are a treasure for all Bahamians. Are you into history or seeking inspiration? Then this is a must-read. Available at Dungalik, Logos, the National Art Gallery, and Chapter One. Get your copies today. Be inspired by a legacy of wisdom and vision.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning. Welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. Again, the numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720 for Family Island residents. Of course, the text line powered as always by BTC, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Text said it says, great show as usual. Actually, this case is acceptable in the community for a young boy to be with an older woman, but if a young girl with an older man, he should be caned and jailed. All right, this question of a gender bias in society, I think it's most important to remember that in the eyes of the law, a 13-year-old boy is still a child. Cannot vote, cannot leave their house under their own will. They must leave with consent of their parents. It doesn't matter that many 13-year-old boys have to work. 13-year-old boys may be bringing in the same amount of income or revenue to the household that their parents are. It does not matter that young boys may have to take on the role of young men and men in their homes and their communities. The law recognizes them as minors and for instances like this because they are still children with undeveloped brains and undeveloped bodies. Let's go into this next article quickly. IRCA to modernize broadcast rules. Mr. Nuri, I'm going to look for a guest so we could have a longer and broader conversation about the proposed changes that IRCA has released for consultation. IRCA to modernize broadcast rules, just a brief excerpt. The Utilities Regulation and Competition Authority is proposing to relax a current rule that prohibits the broadcast of discussion and analysis of election and referendum issues on polling days. IRCA also proposes restrictions on gaming advertising over broadcast media. The regulator also proposes to lift restrictions on the advertising of alcohol in the same manner. But licensees will be prohibited from broadcasting advertisements and sponsorships for alcohol during programs directed toward children. Similarly, licensees would be mandated to take particular care to protect children and other young people from advertising or sponsorships that feature or promote gambling. IRCA also proposes mandating licensed broadcast operators to modify and or develop internal policies governing their use of synthetic media, artificial intelligence, and any other emerging technologies that they employ to ensure that their use complies with the Code of Practice for Content Regulation in the Bahamas. Synthetic media refers to the artificial creation or alteration of media by machines, particularly programs that use artificial intelligence and machine learning. In simpler terms, it's media that is created by technology. Synthetic media is also known as, quote, AI-generated media. The proposal revealed in a consultation document released by the regulator last week, which launched a public consultation concerning proposed revisions to the code. I wanted to read that into the record, Mr. Nuri, because I'm wondering, in this consultation process, are we considering rules that govern the use of the internet or address the instance or the issue that arose in this case where the defendant indicated that they know that other people use their profile? Other people have access to the account or can have access to the account. Do we need to create rules that regulate that space? Like, if you are the owner of the account, then you have to prove that the account was not under your control. If you allege that the images or audio or video purported to be of you or include you, if you allege that those are fake and were created by AI, who is responsible, who has the burden of proof, the burden of proving that? And will these sorts of issues be addressed in this most recent consultation, in this current consultation process?
I'm not sure if IRCA can police social media and what I put out. I'm a private citizen.
The government can regulate citizens' use of these social media platforms and can regulate use by any jurisdiction legally that is possible, right? I don't know if we want to go to the extreme that a state like China goes to, but it is possible. But I'm not talking about governing or what you put on your social media account. I'm talking about the rules, sort of like the auxiliary rules. So you put on your account what the app allows you, what the rules of the app allow you to put on. If they say no nudity, then you can't put no nudity up. If you put it up, the app itself will penalize you, right? The question is around, like, the laws pertaining to it. When content from your account is being used in a case, who has the burden of proof? Who has to prove that you are responsible for that content being on your social media page.
And I'm assuming you having this, comparing this juxtaposed to the other issue we're talking about, the lady with her Facebook account.
Right, but the case that we just addressed.
Let me put a scenario. Mm-hmm. What if on my WhatsApp phone, but other people could pick up and use, someone send texts about a murder or pictures about a murder.
About a crime. Let's just call it a crime. No, let's just call it a crime.
Yeah, I'm making the story up. It's all made up.
Mm-hmm.
Or contrived, right? Can I say that other people have had access to my cell phone?
Well, this is what I'm saying. Account? Should we create rules, set out rules to say who has the burden, who must prove that they are not responsible for the content on their social media platform?
It's just interesting.
I think it's more. It is what we need to begin to address, particularly with the inclusion of what we call synthetic media. Reading from the article, or artificial AI generated media. Right? We need to begin to create laws to govern this space.
AI will be a concern, especially in the upcoming general election, in terms of people could create a whole narrative, and you do not know what is true from what is not.
Right, absolutely. And so, are there rules governing the space?
But isn't there a law about fake news?
Is that not pandemic related?
No.
We need to go back into the Pandemic Act. I think it was an amended act or a new act in the midst of the pandemic.
Because remember, you still got to travel to driver's license now. Wasn't that during the pandemic? But you have to drive with your driver's license.
Well, a separate law. So the Road Traffic Act was amended, right? So the Road Traffic Act was amended, and the amendment requires you now to have your driver's license on you when you are operating a motor vehicle. Prior to the amendment, you had 48 hours to present your valid driver's license to the Road Traffic Department or the Royal Bahamas Police Force after an accident, right? So we got some more text here. Remember when we were young in the 80s, when our parents were not home, the satellite dish used to be pointed straight up?
That's for rich people.
A.
I had an antenna.
A. Texter. B. Yes, I remember.
You had a satellite too?
Yeah, we had a satellite. I don't know about pointing straight up. I never figured out the
really
code.
You're really privileged.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to deny that. I had a super privileged life, right? But at the same time, I never used to go to Bucks or Super Video, right? So I used to enjoy going to my neighbor house to watch movie.
Okay.
On video. Mm-hmm. And what movie y'all have next, right? And so there's privilege in each experience, right? But I like this text because it's as if we think that because we escaped the dynamics of our social life, that nothing was wrong, right? I don't think that we now, as this generation, I'm 48, I know you're talking to Texas, I don't think we have done sufficient work of interrogating what of our childhoods were good and were bad, right? And the work of ensuring that our children could experience all of the good without experiencing the bad. Some of us are just not prepared to reflect on those parts of our lives because they were traumatic. And we escaped by the grace of God. But we have an obligation as adults now to examine our childhoods, to use that to figure out how we're going to protect other young people. Another text. Dear Texter, it doesn't matter how grown, and I'm not critiquing the text, I'm just not going to read what they said out loud. It doesn't matter how developed a boy's body is. It doesn't matter if they look like man. The responsible adult will make a determination of age before they engage in any act. We should focus on a review of the shifting of the law from statutory rape to unlawful sexual intercourse. Because it doesn't matter how grown the child looks. If they are underage, they are underage. So we got some cultural practices. You know which one of them Family Island sayings, Mr. Newry?
Mm.
It don't matter the age, it's the grass on the playing field. You heard that one? Yeah. And we don't count age, we count by the pound.
Yes.
They look old enough, and that is sufficient, right? These are real cultural practices that we have to interrogate, and not just when our own is affected. Is a text. Oh boy, texter. The texter says, since the court has already set a precedent, I think the public can assume now. First of all, the court didn't set a precedent. That's not how it works. Right? The court didn't set a precedent. It's a ruling by the jury. A precedent may have been set, but I'm not a learned lawyer. I don't have a law degree. I haven't been called to the bar. I can't make that determination. But the text is basically saying that this ruling feels like justification. So the text says, so don't be mad at old bus drivers playing up with schoolgirls in uniform while they ride in the bus this school year. Text, what? We could still hold firm to our truths and beliefs, right? We could still hold firm to our social contracts that big grown adults should not be fraternizing with, socializing with, attempting intimate, romantic, sexual, or physical relationships or interactions with minors or with people who are not close to them in age. Another text says, I don't know why CA think Erin isn't privileged. This is a woman who's been to QC and been off to boarding school in England.
There you go. Privilege.
Oh, no, I declare it. I put it on the table all of the time.
Mm.
Right? And I think it's important that those who do have privilege are honest with themselves and with the public, especially with young people.
Mm.
You know what we need to start being honest about?
You had your own room when you were younger.
Yeah, I had my own room. And I love that you say that, right? Because there is a privilege in having your own room. But there's also a privilege in growing up and living with your siblings.
Did you have your dog cut the clothes?
Yeah, it cut the clothes.
My mommy take the whole door off.
She cut the clothes, her door. She didn't take it. You're just going to walk right in.
I had no privacy. You was privileged.
Privacy, right? Like that is a privilege. But when you talk to Bahamians who have grown out of what we call poorer conditions, right?
Mm.
And you hear them talk about the experiences that they had as children and how it enriched their lives as adults. When you hear them reflect, and I say, yes, there is a privilege in having your own room growing up, but there's also a privilege, right, of having a space to share with somebody. Knowing that there'll always be someone there to share your fears with, your traumas with, right? It's important to acknowledge that there is privilege, there are privileges in each experience. Another text is saying, Ronnie Butler say, age ain't nothing but a number. This Bahamian
need God.
I'm afraid that it may be becoming Bahamian culture, Mr. Newry. Age ain't nothing but a number. You got to go to work, boy. It don't matter how old you are. Daddy, I got to go to school. I won't go to school. Boy, me and your mama and your siblings need you to go to work. Age is nothing but a number, right? We've accepted it there. We've already decided that young people will be forced to do what is necessary whenever an adult decides, right? And this is the trauma for young people, that we want them to be children when it is expedient and comfortable for us, and we want them to be adults when it's expedient and beneficial to us as well. Texas says, I was 37 years of age and I could not close that door. I moved because I was tired of waiting to tell mommy go sleep for me and to go to sleep for me and my girlfriend to have adult activities. You say, my mommy never went to sleep. See, this is why also housing crisis is so important, Mr. Newry, right? Because when do men, when do young men and women become adults? Is it when they can pay their own mortgage?
I'm never adult in my mother's eyes. I'm her baby. She got to cook and clean. When she's here, she ironed the clothes.
Hold on, that's not what I thought you was going to say. You just said you'll always be her baby, and when she says she's cooking clean and ironing your clothes for you?
Is she here, she got to cook.
You mean when she's here, she enjoys the privilege of cooking for her son, and who is no longer a child?
When she's here, my wife no longer iron my stuff. I said, no, no, let my mommy iron it. She knows how to iron it properly.
No, no, do you say, look here, my mother... Let my mother have this moment of taking care of her little boy again, because she loves it.
She got to put the clothes in the drawer.
It sounds so like dictatorial.
No.
She got to put the clothes in the drawer properly.
My mother knows how to do it.
See, if you told me, I understand the struggle that my mother has in reconciling with me being man with my own children and still being her child. So when she comes, if she wants to infantilize me in that way,
the right
by taking
amount
care
of chicken
of me,
on the plate, always the right amount of chicken on the plate, always. She just knows.
Is that something different?
Yeah.
Don't let me hear you saying, but because she's put the
who's going to look for Pear?
Oh, that's the yeah. I you
she's
infantilize
fine.
Me, mommy. If you she's go make sure Pear at the dinner table when she visits,
even when it's all the season. And I just get six planted.
So I can appreciate that. Yeah. Don't be around here talking about my mother come to visit me so she could iron my clothes properly.
You need to see my how I'm with iron. It just be good.
Listen, it's been a pleasure. We're all out of time. Let me just text this. One last text. Aaron, the concern I have with this ruling is based on the facts presented at the trial suggests that seven jurors are quite comfortable with sexual behavior between adults and minors. The law does not give us a right to have an opinion on the matter. Statutory rape is the current law. I am baffled by the decision of the jury after hearing the admission by the victim that the lady was in fact his girlfriend and they had sex. If we do not think that this satisfies the condition of statutory rape, we have to now revisit ourselves. The text says, I close the show, that's why I think one of the first things we must do is demand a response from the government as to the rationale behind changing the law from statutory rape to unlawful sexual intercourse and a review of the existing cases up to this point to determine whether the law change has achieved the effect intended or the goal intended. It's been a pleasure to be back. I await tomorrow's newspaper, so we have more to talk about. Again, I want to say thank you to the staff and hosts, the staff at Guardian, and the hosts and staff at Guardian Talk Radio for their support in my time of need. You guys have a great day. Be good to each other. And thank you, PMH and PHA, all of y'all. Thank you.
Ask the old man, the old woman. They say age ain't nothing but a lose me, I beg to differ. Ask the old man, the old woman, how they feeling. They may tell you of arthritis, of pain through and through. Oh, they'll tell you they can't do as they used to.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.